feast day today is the Nativity of John the Baptist, St. John the Baptist. And we remember in St. John the Baptist and are called to remember what it is to be a forerunner of Christ, or also he's also called a precursor, but that he goes before Christ and prepares the way for the Messiah, prepares the way for people to receive Jesus with faith, to know what Jesus is doing. They almost have to hear John the Baptist preach. They almost have to see him baptize. It's much more difficult to understand who Jesus is if you didn't have a sense of John the Baptist. Not that it's impossible, but he makes it easier. He makes it easier for people to receive Jesus, and that's his whole mission, that they will know the one who is to come, the one who comes in search of each one of them, the God who loves them, their Savior, who is coming in their midst. Well, that is why we can say that every Christian has a vocation to imitate St. John the Baptist. Not in everything he did, but in his general call, the general mission that he had, or should I say the specific mission that he had, we have in a general way. That we are all called also to prepare the way for Christ, first in our own hearts, but also for others, that we actually are supposed to be heralds of the good news, forerunners for Jesus, people who prepare the way for the Lord, who talk about the one who is to come, who is greater than myself, who is the Savior and the hope, unlike myself. But talk about Jesus to people, and even invite them to repentance at times, as John the Baptist did. People came to John the Baptist, they were getting baptized, acknowledging their sins and being baptized. This was not a sacramental baptism as we understand them now. Baptism didn't have the same power until Jesus was baptized. Because as you know, the waters of baptism didn't change Jesus. When Jesus got baptized, he did not suddenly become divine, or he did not suddenly become the Son of God, or he did not suddenly become more powerful. No. When he was baptized, Jesus didn't change. When Jesus was baptized, the waters of baptism were changed. Like when something touches Jesus, he doesn't change, but whatever touched him changes. Whatever he reaches out and touches doesn't change him. He changes it or them. And so he turns baptism into this thing that communicates divine life, and transforms the waters of baptism, as we say. So Jesus arrives on the scene in the context of his cousin John the Baptist's ministry. It's so clear that John knows, I'm not worthy to baptize you, Lord. I'm not worthy to untie his sandals and wash his feet. I'm not worthy to do that, let alone baptize him. He's greater than I am. He is the hope. He is the Messiah. And John's first proclamation is about the kingdom of God. It's about repentance. But it's also, right at the beginning, he says, what do you suppose that I am? I am not he. Meaning that people would have been rumoring and gossiping and talking, and is this the Messiah? I mean, is this the chosen one? Look, everybody's going to be baptized by him. Even some of the prominent people in Jerusalem. At least the greatest. I mean, there's a lot of people here. He's got quite a following. He seems to have the anointing of the Lord. He seems, when he preaches, something happens to people. And there was this great following. People went out to the wilderness to see him, not because of his appearance. Or maybe they did go because of his appearance to see the spectacle. And he says, to quell those rumors, I am not the Messiah. But let me tell you about him. He's going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. He's always talking about Jesus. He's always talking about the one who is to come. And he's not really talking about himself. Which brings us to the way that we live out our call as Christians to evangelize and to be forerunners for Christ. in the way that we speak with others, do we imitate John the Baptist in his humility, that he gets out of the way so that Jesus can be glorified? He gets out of the way so that people can know the one who is the true Savior. He doesn't preach less. He's preaching all the time. That's not humility. It's not humility to say nothing. It's humility to say things and to do things in such a way that Jesus gets the glory. And the simple question today that I think I want to invite you to ponder is, are you living to give all the glory to God? Or are you trying to keep a little something for yourself? You know, when we talk about our own lives and bearing witness to Jesus, there's inevitably some personal testimony, and that's good. And I talk a lot about my own spiritual life because St. Paul says this. This is in 1st or 2nd Thessalonians 2:8. I can't remember which, but he says, being so affectionately desirous of you, we were determined not only to give you the gospel of God, but our very selves as well. So Paul is saying, it's not just that I'm going to preach a message about Jesus, and I'm not going to be with you, walk with you, love you, share my life with you, share myself with you. I'm going to do both. I'm going to share my personal testimony. Here's how God has really blessed me. Here's how I let him down, but he still forgave me. Here's how, in all of these things, though, as we share our very selves, we're reminded by John the Baptist, as we share our, not only the gospel of God, but our very selves, we share ourselves in such a way that Christ gets the glory and that he is the message and that we're excited about him and we're in love with him. And that's true also when we talk about St. Mary's as a parish community. So is it good to talk about the Lord in your own life? Yeah. Is it good to talk about your St. Mary's church community? Yeah. But always in such a way that we are a community who's in love with Jesus. He's the one we're excited about. And we can talk about how, well, you know what got me through this or that, or it was my family at St. Mary. It was praying with those people. It was the way that they took care of me in this time of need. That's a good thing, and that getting directed toward more and more that we are a community of people who are in love with Jesus. And we will just naturally give God the glory and evangelize, because you always evangelize based on what you're in love with, what you're excited about, and what you want to talk about. And even if you're not a talker, everybody's a talker when they get it, then there's something they're excited about. Which is why it's amazing. I think I've gone almost 8 minutes without speaking about the World Cup at this point. And can I just say one word? Belgium. Okay? Belgium. I'm calling it. You heard it here first. And when you're excited about something, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be soccer. It could be the World Cup. I don't know if you can call the World Cup soccer, but we do here. You can be really excited about something. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's part of you, if it's part of, it doesn't sound fake. Now, people might say, yeah, that's great, Father, but I don't want to watch the World Cup. But I bet if I preached about it for like 2 months straight, you'd be more likely to, you know, I mean, if I really tried, if I just built up the drama about some rivalry, if I talked about some dramatic comeback, I bet I could do it. I bet I could get you excited. I'm not going to try, but I bet I could. Because it's authentic. I really love it. Sometimes too much, right? But we evangelize. We're natural evangelizers. As I've said before, people who go to CrossFit gyms, they are natural evangelizers. You do it on Facebook and Twitter. This is how we do. We our enjoyment of the thing, it is as though our enjoyment of the thing or the person is not complete until we have shared it with others. We are meant to fall in love with Jesus and be so excited about him that he's the message And as we share our very selves, right? We share our own testimony, our own lives. That's just human. But he gets the glory. He's the one that that people really see. And as St. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but he must increase. That will happen the more we're in love with the Lord. That will happen. And so the question again, are you living in such a way, do you love Jesus? Are you so in love with him that you want him to get the glory? Or do you want to keep some of it for yourself? Because when you really love somebody, this kind of naturally happens. But when we're kind of more in love with ourselves, what happens is we consider how people will receive us. We consider how will we look? How will I be glorified? How will I be liked and approved of? And all of these, you know, natural things. The attention shouldn't be really on us. And people know, everybody knows, and the world knows that Christians are not perfect. I mean, they know priests have made, look at our recent history in the church. Pretty serious flaws, failures, and shortcomings. I mean, I guess that's putting it kindly, too, for a lot of these things. Look at the Protestant pastors. There's plenty of egregious failures and faults and sins, you know, high-profile people. And in perhaps in their own lives, they know as well, you know, some family member who was a Catholic or a Christian, but they fell short of living the gospel. And so what do we need to say? Well, obviously, we need to live the gospel, but we also need to say, hey, you know what? I'm a sinner. I'm not the Messiah. These were the first words out of Pope Francis's mouth when someone asked him, who is Pope Francis? The first words were, I am a sinner. That's the first thing he wanted us to know, the world to know about him. But he's also a sinner who's in love with the Savior and who's excited about Jesus. And so are we called to be, because we must decrease and he must increase. And the more we're excited about him, the more we're in love with him, the more that we are wanting him to get the glory, the more that will just naturally happen as we share our lives with other people. To be someone who prepares the way for Jesus, someone who preaches the gospel, to be someone who makes straight the paths of the Lord, not only in our own lives, because we always talk about that during Advent, don't we? Make straight the way of the Lord, get the clutter out, get ready for Christmas. You know, we look inwardly. That's really good, and it's always should be first. We're also called to do that as John the Baptist did in the lives of others. Not that we control other people's decisions, but we're called to say, hey, make straight the path of the Lord. There's someone coming who's so awesome. You can't even fathom how great it is. I can't even. And it puts the attention on the Lord. Jesus is not going to let us down. We're not going to get somebody super excited about Jesus, and then they're going to be like, oh, you know, I met this Jesus, and it was okay. That person didn't really meet him, you know? And maybe they came to church, but there's still an introduction. There's still a lot there. This is our calling. And you don't have to stand up on a soapbox and preach to somebody who you don't know and you'll never see again. I've done that before. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But again, we were determined, we were so affectionately desirous of you. First of all, that's a lot of love for other people, St. Paul talks about. He's writing to a community that he had visited and been a forerunner for Christ and preached the message of salvation and probably a lot of street preaching, yes, but also very personal sharing of life. He says, being so affectionately desirous of you, we were determined not only to share the gospel of God, but our very selves. And it all pointed to Christ. It all pointed to Him, to His glory, because that's our calling. John the Baptist lived it so obviously and directly. When you think about, just think about, probably the biggest thing is our appearance, and whether that's our, the way we physically appear or the way that people receive us when we say something or do something. Think of John the Baptist, who is unmistakable in almost any Christian art. He's the guy wearing rags who looks really skinny and really disheveled. That's him. I don't think there's anybody really like him in Christian art, unless it's the demon-possessed man who was set free from demon possession. I mean, John the Baptist does not come to you looking the part. He comes, you know, John the Baptist shows up and there's not an attractiveness to him, an acceptableness to him, even in his own time. This was, I think probably some people went just to see the spectacle. There's a guy that eats locusts and wild honey and he wears camel's hair. This guy looks crazy. But everybody wants to hear him preach, really. Yeah, he lives in the wilderness. I know that there in seminary there were not a few seminarians who thought about, why don't we just go live in the wilderness? Okay, like live in a hut. You know, like build a hut on Gregory State Game Area. Actually, there is a hut there I found. And anyway, I could just live in that one that's already there. And maybe people will come to me from, you know, just all over, and I can preach to them. Like people thought about this, and these are the things you think about in seminary. Like, but we're not called to do that. Besides that, I really don't think that there'd be a lot of hunters who would be displeased with that, I think. But we're not called to do that. But we are called to humble ourselves in the eyes of others and not be glorified. Not be glorified. Because we're worried about Christ being glorified. We want Him to be glorified. That's our preoccupation. Not that I would look good, but that I would draw attention to Christ. How could I do that? As we ask that question, am I living in such a way as to give all the glory to God? Or am I keeping a little bit of the glory for myself? I find, again, that it all comes down to love. It all comes down to being in love with Jesus, because when we're in love with Him, we're going to want Him to be glorified. We're going to be ready to sacrifice what appears to be our own glory, because He must increase, and so we must decrease.